Welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 156. I definitely didn't increase the number this week. I am your host, Will Wilson, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
As you might have already guessed, this isn't the special conference recording where everything sounds terrible and I go around to different people and interview them.
But you're not including that. You did actually do it.
I did. Well, no, I did it. I just asked you. That was the only person I got around to, and then everything went crazy. And like, you know, we had all those people trying to beat us up because of that prostitute, and it was really mad. Anyway, so there was none of that happened. Listeners, by the way, we were in Amsterdam for our conference, it's our twice yearly conference where we discuss what's going on with the site, what we're doing with the companies, and all that. You know. Because it's a big network, it's not just Pocket Gamer. We've got Quality Index, which is like the Metacritic site, but better than Metacritic, obviously. Free App Alliance, which just launched an app, as you know about last week, and PocketGamer.co.uk, Pocket Picks, which is our sister site, and all our other various things. So it's quite a big event where we all get together and definitely don't have a party and sit there for hours and hours. In a room. I was all right, though. I had a full English breakfast.
Yes, you did. Yeah. We all watched you.
Yeah, you all watched me eating my full English breakfast. It's very nice as well.
Yeah, but wasn't it? It was about 11 o'clock by that stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. It really set me up for the day. Especially as the food at lunchtime was horrible.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the best. I'm not sure if that's traditional Dutch fare or what. But,
not sure, it wasn't particularly nice. So we went to Amsterdam. we didn't do anything dodgy. We went to a few bars. Still, we didn't do anything dodgy. I'm just stressing that again because that sounds a bit weird as well.
I didn't. I had a very bad throat.
Yeah.
That's how wild I was.
Yeah.
I was on Shrestles.
John was antagonizing Matt, and I was talking to barmaids.
Yes, you were.
I was, yeah, for hours. Well, maybe an hour. I lost track of time at that point. it was good fun.
Do we have any Dutch listeners?
Yeah, maybe. Hello.
You don't know, do you? No, don't. We don't now. If that's what you're going to do.
Hello.
We've already lost them.
That's Dutch for hello.
I was just going to extend my hand of friendship to the Dutch people.
Are you saying that I've smacked that hand away?
I think you have. I think you've
just by saying hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh no! How nice was Amsterdam? I've not been before. It was amazing.
Nice. Although all of you lots going on about like, look at them cycling without helmets in England, you wouldn't be able to. It was like, well, yeah, you do in Cambridge. Hello. Bike capital of England. I don't think you could compare Amsterdam to like Manchester. It's not exactly the bicycle capital of England, is it?
I don't know. There's a certain kind of bike that they have in Amsterdam that we've got quite a few of in Manchester, as I have to say. Not one you cycle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, fair enough. We don't get that much in Cambridge. That's true. Jeez, bring the tone down, Keith.
I thought I was losing. I thought I'd made that up in my head. I was the only person in the world.
Well, yeah, it wasn't the most obviously. But anyway, yes. So there were lots of prostitutes.
They're nicely kept. You know, they're not. You know,
yeah, I know. It was surprising.
Out the rain.
It's quite organised, really.
It's lovely windows.
Yeah. So lots of bicycles.
Yeah. Well, they are. I would say they're probably they've got more gusto on their bikes than anyone else. I would have thought there is no fear. Look,
again, this is Cambridge. They ride without their hands on their bikes. Well, I saw some guy without any reflections, no helmet or anything, at night riding, texting.
The other thing is that they've all got really old bikes in Amsterdam. They're like,
again, this is another point. They always have old bikes in Cambridge because of bicycle theft. If it's a big bicycle town, the bicycles are like the most thieved object. I mean, Cambridge's crime rate is actually quite low, but not bicycle theft, where it's like higher than everywhere in the country put together, pretty much. If you buy a new bike, it gets nicked.
I'm not even sure Cambridge exists. I think it's just, you know.
Look,
it's like Camelot. It's kind of a, you know, fictitious utopian place that, you know. No?
Mm.
For the rest of the country, Amsterdam is quite, there has a lot of bikes. It has a lot of bikes. And the people on these bikes, they're not, you know, kids. They're just like old women having a natter, cycling at 80 miles an hour as they occasionally ring their bell as they're about to plow into you. It keeps you on the edge, you know. It's a thrill a minute.
It reminded me of when I was learning to drive in Cambridge. Anyway, Cambridge listeners of the podcast are going to be nodding their head with me here and going like, yeah. So
one of them's you.
Yeah, I know, precisely. One of our two. That's why I'm one.
So we might have more Dutch listeners than Cambridge. What do you call people from Cambridge? That's not a joke, by the way.
That's a setup, surely. Awesome. Cool. Amazing.
Cambridgians.
I don't think we have a term.
You have got it. Everywhere's got a term.
Not really. You don't. Not every place has a term.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, let's move on from this subject.
I'm actually sponsored by the Dutch Tourist Board now.
Okay. Well, I'm sponsored by barmaids.
No, I think you're
Let me talk a bit more about the barmaid.
I think you're sponsored by Cambridge, actually.
Good point. Cambridge Tourism Board. I can't believe you found that out. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go on to the news.
News!
Obviously, we're awake. We were awake this week, so there's less news than normal. we were away this week for at least... Well, I was away on the Monday as well as at Chillingo. So I'll talk about that, actually, a little bit later. But, yes, so because we were away, we had a bit of a skeleton staff. Mark Brown and TJ doing a grand job.
Sounds like a rap crew, that is.
Mark Brown and TJ. Yeah, I remember those guys. They were big in the 90s.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. No.
Yeah, like, you know, they did that song, yeah? Move Your Body, Boom Boom. That was well wicked. Anyway.
Will actually spoke like this for most of the trip away as well, so.
I did, yeah. So Mark Brown and TJ were featuring TJ, so. were doing a grand job making sure the site was still...
Were they really?
They were doing a very, very good job. I've not looked. They were doing a very good job. So we're going to use some of their stories that they wrote because we've been away. So I guess the big one of this week, and I'll be talking more about it later in the podcast, is that Grand Theft Auto 3 is out. Well, to give it the full title, Grand Theft Auto 3 10th Anniversary Edition. How cool is that? Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know what this game reminds me of, though? Reminds me of Gangstar.
Yeah, it's such a copy. It really
is. Yeah,
look
at this. Can't believe Rockstar are copying Game Love.
It's well timed in that respect, really, isn't it? Because it
should have come out before the last Gangstar. I'll talk about it a bit more later, but
if it had come out before
the last Gangstar, wow.
Game Loft probably wouldn't have made it, which would have been a blessing, wouldn't it? So
So I'll talk about it and I'll compare the two games a little bit later. Just to set it up, though, remember I'm the person who gave Another World, which I liked as a child of 5, because I didn't think it really worked in the modern environment anymore, and it was too frustrating and too nostalgic, as in it just was too annoying and frustrating, and games have moved on since then. So basically, when I say I'm going to be talking about Grand Theft Auto 3 later, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be saying good things about it. So there we go. There's a bit of tension now. You don't know what I'm going to say, so let's move on. It's mainly a releases news week this week, to be fair. Although I will go to Beeline. Let's go from the hardcore to the softcore. We've only just come back from Amsterdam. Beeline Interactive, who are the company that Capcom made after the success of Smurfs Village. And, of course, Snoopy's Street Fair. They have now announced that they're working on Shrek's Fairy Tale Kingdom.
Yep.
I wonder how this will play out.
Probably involving a lot of in-app purchases that you don't realise you're making. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's an emotional roller coaster where you play as Shrek and you slowly... slowly realize over the course of the game that your everything you've starred in is shockingly bad, and then start to question the reason for why you exist, other than to make money through merchandising and through exploiting children's weaknesses.
Or you start out as Shrek and then you end up playing for Man United in England.
That's never going to happen.
Can I just say, anyone looking at the story on the website, how massive is the picture of Shrek we have on this story? It's huge.
He's a big man.
It's massive.
I don't know.
It's an ugly man. I don't get Shrek.
I don't like Shrek. I don't understand why people think it's funny.
No, I don't. I get it.
I'll give you one thing, though. I saw the trailer for Puss in Boots. And it had funny jokes in the trailer. I'm not going to say that looked funny, because I know how these things work. But it had at least two good jokes in the trailer, and I was impressed, because Shrek normally has like one, if that, and it's only a
small. They speak so quickly in Billy's Shrek. I usually can't, to be honest. I'm way behind. It's like an episode of Gilmore Girls. I don't know what they're talking 100 miles an hour.
Backtrack. Episode of Gilmore Girls.
All of Gilmore Girls. You never watched Gilmore Girls? Well, they talk very fast in Gilmore Girls. A bit like what I'm doing right now.
No.
you should watch Gilmore Girls. This podcast is sponsored by.
I don't know. I'm more of a crank and transporter man. So yes. So it's a freemium game. Social aspects. And they will have you build stuff and you wait a certain amount of time for it to build and pay money. So there we go. That's what they do. They're quite successful. I mean, like Beeline's stuff has been very successful.
It's a good. If I find my biz hat somewhere, it's quite a big kind of little union really, because Shrek has the potential to reach out to the kind of people who play those games. And I'm not making any judgments about those people, but it's quite a good
fit.
You
were, though, pretty much.
And Capcom's obviously already proved that it can make a hell of a lot of money with licenses. So it in this area. So it's, you know, John was quite excited about it. He actually, when the email came through, he pulled me aside to tell me this, and I probably didn't give a very excited reaction myself.
I'm going to say I've met Beeline in the past. They're very nice. They're nice people. I don't really care about the game so much, but I think it is interesting. I didn't think the Smurfs license had that much power when it was released. I don't think anyone did they?
I don't think I don't think anyone was expecting it to generate the more money than the annual turnover of Switzerland or whatever. I don't know. Made a lot of money.
So that's one to probably not look out for, but for certain people listening, maybe it is. But here we go. On the flip side of the industry, you've got another Kairosoft game coming out this week. Well, it's out now, called Venture Towns, which, I mean, technically you could strip away Kairosoft's games and then put time limits on things, and then you'll have a freemium game. However, because, I mean, that's how freemium started, because of the city builder sort of strategy games, really. They just took out all the fun and replaced it with waiting and paying money. So if you don't like the idea of having one of your favorite genres ripped out and completely repackaged as freemium, then Kairosoft is here for you. Venture Towns, it's going to be exactly the same as other Kairosoft games, but that doesn't mean it's going to be bad. In fact, the other games are pretty good, actually. So, it's based on building your own city this time, which is a lot more potential than a hot spring in Japan. But actually, hot springs is really good, so. There we go. Adventure Town's out now, $2.49. We'll have a review soon. And I haven't played it yet, but I'm going to say that it's good. talking of games I have played, Connectimals is also out on the App Store. Now, this is an interesting one. What's Microsoft doing? This is the second release in 2 weeks.
I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand that, really. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Is it? I mean, I'm guessing this is because it hasn't sold much on the Windows Phone.
Well, it's number two. It's been number two in the Windows Phone charts.
Like I said, it hasn't sold much on the Windows.
It's probably doing all right, to be honest. It's not as if either Frontier, I suspect, will have done healthy out of it anyway, just by having the license. I can't imagine Microsoft would be that bothered as to how many, you know. It seems to me, and as far as I'm aware, it's the same as the Windows Phone version. I don't know whether it does the transfer in that with the Windows Phone version you can hold up.
No, it does.
Oh, does it? Well, then I really don't understand. I don't understand it. I can understand it. It's like we were talking the other week, or did that get... I can't remember if that was the week it got cut. I can understand the Xbox app on iOS.
Yeah, I cut that quite, bit, sorry.
It's quite a good bit of brand extension that you kind of, you know, if you like this, you might want to change your phone, kind of subtle hint. Yeah, literally, it's the same game. I don't really understand.
Do you think it's? Do you think they've taken the same tactic as Sony Ericsson's done with the Xperia Play? You know, in that they try and just, they're thinking to themselves, well, you know what? Exclusive games sell systems, but let's just make 1 month exclusive things. Because they're obviously going to make more money when they release it on iPhone, because more people play games on iPhone.
They're going to make money. I can't imagine that Microsoft would sit there, you know, it's not going to make a big difference on their balance sheets. It's, you kind of think, why would they do it? In the same term, I can't imagine there were all too many people thinking when they saw Kinect was coming out Windows Phone that went and bought one. It's, you know, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird. It's kind of a, I suppose it's more of an Xbox move than a Windows Phone.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's odd. So Kinectables, we both played it. we're also both in agreement about it, even though I haven't told Keith my opinion on it.
I can't remember what my opinion was. What was it?
It's pretty much not really a game. I mean, it's cute.
Yeah, it's very well done. But
it's very well done. It's just there's no real game to it. You just sort of, you get tricks and you do these tricks and you have to do other tricks after that and then you do them. You just sort of potter along, really. It's the
It's just a series of interactions more than there's no kind of, you can kind of rank up and you get more, you can get more
kittens. Cats, yeah,
but it doesn't really
cubs.
You're not really progressing. You don't, you know, there's no, you don't really, unless you're really into stroking.
There's a sort of half-hearted attempt at doing a Tamagotchi thing where you can go to the menu and you can see the mood of your creature. It's like, really? I want to play with a ball. So
I had the same attitude as I had with Nintendogs, really. I kind of, it's a really nice kind of interaction, but eventually you'll get bored of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, unless you are five or, I don't know, you don't have a real pet because you've got cruel parents or something. It's kind of, it's eventually you'll think, well, you know, I'd much rather have a real lion in my house or something.
Eventually, that's it, basically.
I'm sure you've all got them in Cambridge. It's probably entirely usual for you.
Yeah. Everyone owns a tiger. Well, not everyone. There's some of them own leopards. It's quite interesting, though, walking them. So that's the interesting thing. Of course, let me talk about some of the games I played at Chillingo. We have got previews up on the site from Damon Brown and my preview, which I am still writing because I've only just got back, and will be up soon. But so I played a few games. What did I play? I played Fancy Pants Adventures, based on Mr. Fancy Pants Adventures and Flash.
Who's Mr. Fancy Pants?
He's a stick man with some fancy pants on.
I've not encountered him.
It's very nice. I mean, like, again, okay, before I start this, all of these descriptions, just imagine I've said polished once during, like, every game I mention now is going to be polished. So I'm not going to mention it anymore. That's it. So it's got very nice animations. It's a platform game. You leap around collecting little squiggles. It's very weird, fourth wall breaking humor. So one particular level near the start has you jumping into a massive bath, draining it, and you find out that it was a big old ploy by a pirate to wash his crew in this big bath, and he's very annoyed. And like, there's one bit where you get up to a level and there's these diagrams. You walk past diagrams showing like put spikes on head, and you know, from the enemies, and this is like them planning how to beat you. And then you get to the end of this corridor, and then there's all the enemies you've encountered in the game in a big pyramid, and they all start talking to you, saying like, "You'll never be able to get past us! Ha ha! Try jumping on our heads now, you idiot!" Stuff like this, which is quite funny. And then of course they then reveal like, "Aha! If only there was another weapon you could get by going back up the thing, going left, and then going down a hole." And then of course it's like, "Shut up, you fool!" It's quite good. Humor-wise, platform-wise, it's always going to suffer a little bit from being on a touch screen, but it wasn't too bad. I think the it's got potential, I feel.
Is it polished?
I think that comes with the territory.
Oh, I've forgotten. Sorry.
Talking of territory, Spice Wars was another one I played. This one I'm going to write a preview up about. It's a tower defense game.
Oh, it's nothing to do with the Spice Girls.
Full stop. There we go. Right, moving on. No, it's a tower defense game. But it's got you get spice for completing levels, and you use that to unlock a tech tree, which allows you to build in different ways. Tower defense, I can't get excited about tower defense games. I'm really sorry, guys. Yeah, I really do. I mean, like, I don't mind them. I just find them incredibly dull.
a lot of them. I've not obviously seen this. A lot of them either are virtually identical each level, and you get bored of them very quickly because you're doing the same thing, or they're so kind of wild you can never actually predict, you can never work out how you're meant to successfully.
Well, I find the problem with me on tower defense games, I can never tell what's going wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So if one wave I'm winning, like, no tower defense game managed to correct this. Actually, no, that's a lie. Gemcraft is actually quite good at giving you feedback of what's going wrong, but for the majority of them, you're just like, one wave you're thrashing it. You're upgrading your turrets that are there, and you're like, I've made a corridor and I've upgraded all my turrets. Nothing could go wrong. Next wave, the same enemies are just suddenly amazingly harder, and they all walk through your defenses, and you're left thinking, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's never satisfying. It's not enough feedback for me in tower defense. Anyway, I wasn't given enough game time on Spice Wars to say if it suffers from the same problems. It's very traditional. You build like corridors of death, funnel the enemy troops through, upgrade your turrets. One thing that it does have is multiplayer. Eight-player multiplayer. Yes.
In one game?
Yes.
Eight
players. I know. How does it work? I have no idea, because the multiplayer didn't work when I was there. So it's going to be a very brief preview where I mention the fact that it's got eight-player multiplayer on certain maps, but I couldn't play it, so I don't have any idea how it works. I asked about it, and Dan's reply, good old Dan, was that he thinks it was a bit like Wars. But that's not really tower defense. That's castle defense.
Oh, I thought you were just talking in general, just a bit like, yeah.
No, not war in general. no, I mean like war and wars and swords and soldiers or sorcery or whatever it is. Not sorcery. Swords and soldiers, I think.
I'm so tired. I could probably laugh at that for several hours.
Good. It's a good job I'm moving on. And the other game I played was really good. You'll love this game.
Me personally?
You personally. You'll love this one. It is called, and I don't want to get it wrong because I really want to say Standard Food, but that's not right. That's T5 Entertainment. It is called Burger. No, let's... oh, damn it. Ready something? Damn it. I'm going to find it.
There doesn't seem to be any link between the options you're giving.
I know. I'm going through all my fast food related time management games in my head.
Oh. Well, if it's time management, then
It's good. It's good time management. Order up to go. WiiWare game. Now coming over to the iPad and iPhone. It's really fun. I mean, it's probably going to get kind of tiring. It's a time management game. That doesn't mean freemium game. All you people out there get confused between time management and Farmville.
You're idiots.
It's the exact opposite of that. Yeah. You're under pressure. You're in a fast food restaurant. People come up to the first of all, you start off in a drive-through restaurant, and then you get your own restaurant. People come up to the window and they tell you, like, I want burgers, fries, four drinks, and then your camera flips down to the to the kitchen, and you've got to put the burgers on the stove, flip them when the time's right, you've got to put the chips in the fryer, put the drinks machine on, turn it off when it's the right time, and you're flicking between them all going fantastic. It's like working in a fast food restaurant. It's brilliant.
without the pay.
It's amazing. But yeah, so you don't get set levels there. That's the big thing. Instead, you basically buy new restaurants with the coins you make. You get at the start of each day, you're told how much demand is in, how much each type of meal has in terms of demand. And you've got to check your stock levels and buy a certain amount. So it's always weighing up risk and reward. You can always fall back on macaroni and cheese. Apparently everyone will eat it, even if they order a burger, but they won't pay you very much.
Same in real life, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. And you get an infinite supply of macaroni and cheese. But what about the barbecue burger? Special.
An infinite supply of macaroni and cheese. That sounds like heaven to me.
But you've got to vary the stock, and you're given a vague amount of how many people. You know how many people are coming in, but you don't know how many people want the barbecue burger. So you've got to look it up. And
you also get running a real business.
Oh, it's like running a real business. It's brilliant. And you get spices, which allow you to. Which some people want spices in their thing, but they won't tell you what kind of spice, and it costs money to buy the spices into stock. So you've got to either like work it out through trial and error, or pay money to find out. Well, not real money. I mean, like fake money. Find out what they actually want, and they'll give you a bonus if you get it right and stuff like this. It's good.
Well, the last one they published, the last time management one they did was really good. So, yeah.
I like the fact that when Dan showed this to me, he was like, "Oh yeah, it's from Weber." He didn't seem very excited. Oh no, he went, "I don't like time management, but I really like this one." That's normal. Everyone always says that. Like, no, you'll never find someone hand you their game and go, "Yeah, it's a bit crap, this game." But anyway, so he's like, he like took the angle. I know it's a time management game, but it's really good. Look, and I went, "Ooh, time management game, fantastic!" And he couldn't get me off it. I was playing it for about 20 minutes, flipping the burger, and he was kept going, "Whoa, how did you? You're a natural at this." And I was like, "Yeah, I love time management." Anyway, so yes, that's my favourite game of the preview session. Was one where I flipped burgers for 20 minutes. I might not have the same taste in games as you, listener.
Yeah, but if they don't like time management, then they're wrong, really.
They are wrong. It's one very of the best genres. The best genre after City Builders.
Do you think? I think it's the best genre after Grand Theft Auto Clones. I think that's personally my favourite.
Grand Theft Auto Clones.
Just can't get enough of killing innocent people.
That's true. But
enough... in games as well.
Yeah, but hang on. I was going to do a... Anyway, enough about your traumatic experiences and run-ins of the law recently.
Oh, I really
did. Oh, yeah, thank you. On to... let's go to the new releases.
New releases.
This week on the new releases, there's tons of games.
Oh dear.
Yes, there are. First up, Grand Theft Auto 3, talked about it. Available for $2.99. There you go. Universal app. Trenches 2. Well, we'll talk about it more, you know. But we've already mentioned it, so there we go. Trenches 2 from EA this time. Is out now, $149 or $199 on iPad. I played this. It's like Trenches. Only it's got more features. It's got a campaign of different factions this time. So you can play the British with their moustaches, the French with their French language, and the Germans, who have things. Anyway, so basically, they all seem to play the same to me. They have like bonuses and negatives which might come into play later in the game, but I haven't played enough to be able to say. There's online multiplayer through Game Center, not just Origin, because it's a third-party published game. Very rare for EA, this, to be fair. Obviously, someone in EA saw Trenches and thought, you know what, that's quite a good game. It was a good game. I think we gave it a silver. But anyway, this is one of their rare third-party releases.
Hmm. Of someone they haven't bought.
Of someone they haven't bought yet.
Yet.
So yeah, so if this is a success, well done. You've just made EA board buy another company. 20 units, upgradable. It's nicely put together. I played the first two levels and they were quite fun, but obviously they were a bit easy because it's quite early in the game. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out, actually. Bug Princess, this is from Cave. This is out as well, $2.99. It's a cave shooter, and that, when I say cave shooter, I mean traditional bullet hell shooter this time, not like their last release, which name has just temporarily left my mind, which was a twin stick shooter. No, this is that's it. It's the it's a lavish port of arcade shooter Mushimisama.
Oh yes, yeah.
Mushimisama.
Yeah. One of my favourites.
Three modes: original, maniac, and ultra. Four different levels, and of course it has perfectly optimised touchscreen controls because this is Cave, and they are good like that. I expect it's going to be one of those games I'm going to be playing all Christmas, but I haven't played it yet. $2.99. High Score Chasers. You probably already downloaded it. Again, available on iPhone and iPad. And iPad. Ooh, that's a bit rare. Yeah, it's a universal app. I think that's the first one Cave's released as universal. Anyway, yeah, get it. Get it on the iPad if you've got it. Bigger screen.
Really? I didn't know.
Well, no, that. It's good for Cave games, though, because you can just put your finger there and just relax and move very... Anyway, Sonic... Sonic CD is up next from Sega.
Oh, 49.
Dear. Keith really loves this game. I read a review today from someone who says, like, this is the best Sonic game ever made, and it's just such a shame that no one's played it. You would agree, though, right, Keith?
Who said that?
One of our good friends.
One of your good friends. You're not going to name them?
Friends.
Well, a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that it's the best Sonic game and no one's ever played it.
I've heard so many people say it is the best Sonic game that I am tempted to pick it up to see if
you buy it. Honestly, buy it. Buy it. You buy it. It's like when people started messing around with Sonic games at home and putting their versions up on the internet, it's like that. It's kind of like a game that someone's taken skins from all different Sonic games and made a game that kind of doesn't really work. It's not the best Sonic game.
Dragon Tree.
It's not the best Sonic game. I should buy it because it's a bit of nostalgia. There's some nice moments in it. The people always rave about the music. The music is a bit rubbish in my book. But
well, there's American and Japanese tunes in this version.
Of the two, the American's the better one. But that's like killing Jesus in front of someone. If you're a supposed hardcore Sonic fan, then Sonic CD is the best one, and it's the Japanese music. You've got to have the Japanese music and all this rubbish. It's not awful. It's a Sonic game at the end of the day, but it isn't the best. It wouldn't even rank as a... I can see why Sega released it.
Compared to Sonic 4, though.
But it's not better than Sonic 4, no.
Huh?
Nowhere near.
Well, we'll find out soon.
yeah.
Tongue Tied. Oh, I remember seeing a demo, a preview trailer of this a few months back from Mojo Bones. £1.49. This one actually looks quite funny. Anyway, the animations look quite funny. Mick and Ralph, two dogs, have got their tongues tied together. It's a physics puzzler. So you get 50 levels and you've got to swing one dog to get all the bones.
Are they lovers? Because, No,
they fight over a bone, you see, on the animation that sets it up. They see a bone. The bone gets thrown in between them. They both go for the bone, and they end up pulling away with their tongue comically tied.
I hope someone in Hollywood is watching.
To be fair, they do look like... I mean, the art style of the main characters do look sort of like something that would have appeared on a Hollywood feature film. Or at least one of those Warner Brothers sort of weirder cartoon spin-offs about 10 years ago. They look quite good. I might try that out, actually. Captain Bra, a bra new world. G5 Entertainment. It's free. Oh, but it's G5 Entertainment, so it probably costs $2.99 after a certain amount of time. Point and click adventure. Interstellar comedy adventure about a cosmic cop named Captain Bra.
It looks drawn nicely, that's what I'll say.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, yeah. So a bit of a departure from G5. Normally when G5 email us, it says, fancy playing our new time management game. And then I do. I go and buy their latest time management game. Yeah, so there we go. Captain Bra. Free to download, but I'm pretty certain you pay money after a certain amount of time. Save the Furries. Save the Furries. It's Bulky Picks. Looks kind of Christmassy, this one.
It looks like Sonic Spinball. It does.
It's a bit like a Space Age Lemmings, apparently, according to Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because the critters plod on to oblivious to the dangers around them, and you have to fiddle with the environment to make a safe route home.
Oh, I see.
It's quite confusing from that screenshot, though.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I was literally looking for Sonic in that screenshot, to be honest.
The that sounds all right. It's only for iPhone, $1.99. again, this is what I mean about a big week. I mean, everyone's brought out the big guns for their for the week before Christmas.
Fairy guns. The furry guns.
Oh, the furry guns. I was wondering what you were trying to get at there. Marathon 2 Durandal. It's free. And on iPhone and iPad. And it's one of Bungie's old games.
Well, you see, isn't this a bit like Sonic CD in that people who claim to be massive
yes.
Bungie
fans? Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. As a first person shooter, Avocardio? What the fuck's that? Afashadando. I can't say it. That's one of the words I can't say. Write it. I can't say it. Okay. Anyway, as someone who's a big fan of first person shooters, as in I played Cyber Mage. You haven't. Yeah. 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 And Gloom. And Gloom. You never played that.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to everyone in the world. No one played Cyber Mage. It was a fantastic game from 1995. It had like almost an open world area.
We're all, you know, we were sleeping with women and things while you were doing that. I wasn't, but, you know, the cool kids were.
I was playing it while I was sleeping with women.
Yeah, they were sleeping, yeah.
And they're in the next room, but basically the same. Okay, yeah, so this is one of Bungie's old games, come back to life. I'd never like Marathon. The problem with Marathon is from a time where... Basically, the reason why Doom is considered a classic is because anyone else who did that sort of style of game didn't quite work out why Doom was a classic, and then only looked at it as a maze. And what I find with Marathon, I haven't played Durandal actually. This I'm going from the first game, so maybe this is a massive improvement. But the thing with Marathon 1 was that it was just a maze, and there were enemies in them, rather than Doom, which managed to somehow make it feel less like you're walking around a maze and more like you were, you know, actually like firing a shotgun and stuff. This one's too busy trying to do stupid puzzles and featuring barely visible walls. Well, of course, I'm talking about the original. Maybe Marathon 2 is superb. Anyway, there's lots of weapons. There's no doubt a plot, which is more than Doom had, and sort of terrible looking 2D sprites.
Yeah,
it's out for free. Download it and then realize, and then think to yourself, these guys went on to make Halo, which I don't rate highly either. But there we go.
Oh hell!
At least I'm consistent in my hatred for Bungie. No, I like Halo 2. Halo 2.
You like Halo 2?
I'm one of those people.
Someone's pushed you the wrong way.
No, no. Halo 2 single player. Halo 1 multiplayer. Halo 1's multiplayer was superb. I know I'm in the minority there. Anyway, Real Football 2012. Game Loft, it's free. I don't think this is going to be very good.
No, in the back of my mind, the last Real Football wasn't very good. I should look now really, because I probably played it, but I don't remember it being good for a while. Should we have a look?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you didn't like it.
That's how it looks.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to, because you might not be reviewing it, but if you are reviewing it, I don't want you to be, your view to be distorted by my next comment, but I don't think it's going to be very good.
We've taken a screenshot from the last one there. That's a bit naughty, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, unless we didn't have one, but I've just gone to the review and it's the same screenshot. Oh. The byline for the last one is pass and lose, so I'm guessing I didn't like it.
No, I didn't really like the gameplay on this one. I think it's quite interesting what they're trying to do with the freemium aspect, but I wasn't entertained. Maybe it picks up, though. I only played one match, so maybe it does pick up. Because on FIFA 12, I played one match. I thought it was quite dull, because I did a 0-0 draw against one of the makers of FIFA 12.
You did a 0-0 draw.
I did a 0-0. I'm just learning. Yeah, look what the boy done. The boy done good, though, didn't he? Look at the match stats. They don't lie. 0-0. That's a good result. Anyway, so yeah, I wonder if Real Football 2012 is going to be a 0-1.
Yeah. You know what's awful about that screenshot is that if anyone looking at the screenshot right now, the caption doesn't line up at the top, does it? Brazil's slightly higher than Argentina. What's that about?
That is true. What's going on? Yeah, that's starting to freak me out. All right, okay, never mind, moving on. Adventure Towns, we've spoken of. Monkey Island Tales 2. This is already out on iPad. It's now out on iPhone. Which no doubt will mean that iPhone users can complain about Telltale's terrible technical abilities on the iOS. I don't know how good the iPhone versions of Monkey Island Tales runs. But the iPad originals of all Telltale games are pretty much universally awful. iPad 2 is a lot better. So I'm sure if you've got an iPhone 4S, then it'll be fine. I'm not so sure for iPhone 4 owners. But anyway, Monkey Island Tales 2, it's an interesting one. It's better than the first one, in my opinion. Why are you laughing?
It's blowing my nose.
Oh.
That sounds like laughing. That's good.
So yes, the second one's slightly better than the first one, but it's bigger, it's longer, it's a bit harder, and but it's I didn't really like it very much.
I was never into Monkey Island anyway, I have to say. I like point and click, but I was never into
Monkey Island 2 was superb.
I always found Monkey Island there was a kind of general most point and clicks have some level of humor in them, and I always felt that Monkey Island went too far and you kind of ended up not caring very much.
I like Monkey Island 2. Monkey Island 1 was good. Monkey Island 3 was the best. And anyone who says otherwise is completely wrong. It was completely underrated by everyone in the games media at the time. I remember reading the reviews and thinking, it's meant to be worse than number 2. Because they're all too busy going like, Monkey Island's so brilliant, nothing could be better. But actually, Monkey Island 3 is the best of the series, and then it all went downhill after that.
I was always a Broken Sword man.
Well, Broken Sword isn't that funny.
It is funny. It's very funny.
Places. It's not that funny. Unless you get killed.
It's more funny if you're a bit more intelligent. I think so kind of that humour that you've got to look for.
Was Broken Sword 3 as good as Monkey Island 3?
Well, Broken Sword 3 was the one on consoles.
It was, yeah. And what was that like, Keith?
It was all right.
It wasn't all right. It was just basically block pushing puzzles.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, but it kind of, it was. It still had the elements that made it a Broken Sword that kind of kept you. The story was good, and had a big dragon at the end.
True.
The fourth one, I haven't got around to playing because it won't run on my sodding PC for some reason.
I didn't even realise there was a fourth one until that.
Yeah, that's the fourth one. What's it called? The Angel of Death.
I tell you what, first one was superb.
Second one was a bit of a rush job, I think. And the voice artist changed.
Third one as well. I just went. I completed the third one as well. That was the irony. I completed it and then thought. Ugh.
You get to go to Glastonbury. It's nice that. I like it. Always liked it when it came to places that
that you knew.
Well, I've never been to Glastonbury, but it kind of seemed familiar. So. The first one is one of the best games of all time, and I won't hear anything other than that said about it. But we're talking about Monkey Island anyway, so never mind.
No, Snottigles by Adult Swim. Sorry, square brackets, Adult Swim, square brackets. It's an Adult Swim game. I mean, I can't see much from the screenshot, unfortunately. But I expect whoever they've got in to develop it will be it'll be quite amusing.
It's about phlegm.
Yeah.
It looks quite nice.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't like publishers and developers who have stupid way of, make their names in a certain way you have to write and say them, but
Well, Adult Swim, they're all over the place, aren't they? They're on TV as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there we go. Let's move on to what we've been playing, Fields.
What we've been playing!
Keith, you're first up. What have you been playing?
You don't think I'm going to say anything, do you?
No.
No, I'm not actually. Well, all I was going to say is last week I spoke to Will for several minutes about a certain game, and then an hour later we get a message saying that he couldn't even be bothered to record it. So no one got to hear me talk about. Tetris, did they?
I basically said what you said, though.
Oh, you probably think you did, don't you? But you. Yeah.
Well, okay, let me just play a recording.
I actually listened. I listened last week.
Yeah, so like Tetris, it's like this game, yeah. There we go. I'm just stopped the tape now. That's basically what you said, though, wasn't it?
Pretty much. I'm not gonna repeat it because I can't even remember what I said. All I was gonna say was that it's very good.
All right.
And people should buy it now. And don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to them.
Well, you know what I've been playing very briefly.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto 3. Let's roll back. Let's start by comparing it against Gangstar. Game Love hate me when I compare their games to console games.
I can't imagine why you would.
It's a bit different when the console game's on the same format, though, isn't it, Game Loft? So let's do it. Let's do it in full warts and all fashion. So basically, Gangstar looks nicer than Grand Theft Auto 3. Oh,
really?
Damn it, that didn't start off well, did it? Yeah, it's got nicer effect, lighting, you know. You've got a fully voiced main character in Gangstar. You don't have that in Grand Theft Auto 3. I mean, the character models, they are very early. They look early PS2, just purely because the size of the world should never have worked on a PS2, and they hadn't quite got the thing right. It looked much better by the time it reached Vice City and San Andreas. Mm. But, you know, this is almost experimental. No one had really sort of done a game on this scale on the PS2 before. So, yeah, the character models look very basic. And the recording quality is incredibly compressed. All the voice acting in the game is so compressed. Maybe that was because they needed to fit it into 490 megs or whatever, how much big it is, which is smaller than Gangstar. Maybe it's because they just didn't have the original recordings, which recorded in a high enough format. But anyway, if you're a sound person, or even if you're not, you're going to hear like hiss when they're talking.
That can add character.
Yeah, that's sort of a retro character. It's not consistent either. You'll have some recordings that are very hissy, and the other ones are very echoey, and it's all a bit sort of like, oof. No, that wasn't very well done. So yeah, there we go. So Grand Theft Auto, not as good as... Nah, I'm only joking. The great thing is, though, even though the recording quality is pretty terrible compared to Gangstar, the voice acting is like a league above. It makes you even more desperate for Game Loft to completely just scrap all their voice actors, or at least get someone to write a decent script. I mean, the start of the game, it's all fairly normal. They actually try and put an excuse as to why you can't go to the other side of the city, and it makes sense. They show you characters who appear later in the game, but they don't just make you run up to them in like sequence, so they're really obviously. It just shows you like one of the characters moving away in the background because you don't need to know yet, because there's another plot going on behind it. It's good. And so yeah, that's the story in the voice acting. Superior. The controls as well. I get into a car for the first time. It's on the touchscreen, so obviously it's not going to be completely ideal. I haven't got up to a drive-by shooting mission yet, which is going to be hell. But then it was hell on the PS2 as well. It took them until... Well, I don't even think Grand Theft Auto 4 is that good in terms of that.
It's a little bit bumper cards. Yeah, it's not...
But, like, I got into a car, started to drive off, and I didn't crash.
No.
I didn't have to change the control method 4 times to find the one that worked. You see, they've obviously worked on the sensitivity and how long people hold down the on the screen, because it felt far more natural than anything Game Loft produced in this genre. And it's just, there's just these little elements of quality that Game Loft's Gangstar series just doesn't have. Like the missions themselves, the way they're structured, it's just nicely done. It's better done. It's like it's really bad because the game itself looks worse. But actually, when you play it, you realise how much more effort and, time, I think. Time is the big thing. How much more time and resources went into Grand Theft Auto 3 at the time it was produced rather than, say, Gangstar Rio. It's interesting. I think if anyone who liked Gangstar Rio should buy Grand Theft Auto 3 right now, put it on their machine, play it, and then come back to me. You can email me. You can say, actually, Will, I thought Gangstar Rio was better, and I will call you a madman.
You started that sentence with anyone who liked Gangstar Rio.
Yeah.
That there are people that like Gangstar Rio?
Yes, there are some people that like Gangstar Rio because they know no better.
Because
they've just sort of gone around and accepted, like, oh, well, smartphone. It's a smartphone. It can't do any proper games. This is about as close to Grand Theft Auto 4 as we can get. Let's do it. Well, put in Grand Theft Auto 3. It's an older game. And obviously, Game Loft ones take its inspiration from the later ones, so you get customization of your character and all this crap. But putting Grand Theft Auto 3, it plays better first off the bat, and it's better, it's more fun. I don't know. Anyway, so there we go. So Gangster is rubbish. Don't play that game. Grand Theft Auto 3, in its own right, though, I mean, like, moving aside Gangster. Sorry, game. Not for bashing your game constantly for the last 10 minutes. Not really. Grand Theft Auto 3, it has aged. And I think I want to stress this. I know it's common sense, but don't go into this thinking you're playing Grand Theft Auto 4. I mean, that's four games later on the list and about 10 years, well, no, 8 years later in terms of time. And a lot has changed since then. And I mean, there's very obviously, looking back at it now, it's certainly pushing against the limitations of what could have been done on the PS2 at that point in time. And also, it's in terms of the other PS2 games that were out, it's not as good as Vice City or as San Andreas. It's not as big as San Andreas. It's not as funny or as sort of atmospheric as Vice City. However, having said that, it is still quite funny. It is also, it's got some great songs on the radio, which is another one which Gangster needs. Like Push It to the Limit, brilliant. The Scarface soundtrack, which I was regaling Keith with before we went on air. Push It to the Limit. And it's just, it just feels like a nice, it feels like a well-rounded game. It's got a few new features, so autosave and retrying a mission if you fail. Apparently, I haven't had to retry a mission because I'm so damn good. But if that's in there, then that's even better. It's good. I think the touch controls, they're not ideal. I'm not going to stand here or sit here as I'm doing now and tell you all that it's better than the original because it's got better reflections. It's not better than the original. It has got better reflections, but it's not better than the original because it's got touchscreen controls. And although they work well, they work better than Gangster, they're not ideal. And I really don't want to see how they handle drive-by shootings. I mean, if you want to look behind you on, i.e. like recreate a rear view mirror, you've got to hold down the center of the screen for about 2 seconds. You just can't do that when you're driving. So, you know, certain aspects like that doesn't really work. But yeah, other than that, I thought it was quite fun. Also, I'd have liked the driving controls actually, to the buttons on the iPad to have been bigger. It works on the iPhone because it's a smaller screen. Yeah, write that down, Keith. It's got a smaller screen.
I see. Interesting.
But on the iPad, the buttons are a little bit. They're in the corner, but they're too far into the corner. I'd have liked to have put them a little bit closer to the middle. But other than that, I haven't actually found too many problems with it.
Well, you see, yeah, I mean, they were never going to completely re-envision it, were they? It was always going to be the literal kind of drop of the PS2 version. But and I can't imagine that. I would have thought many of the people downloading it are people who loved the game originally. I don't know how many new people it will attract.
I think it will attract quite a few new people. It's been 10 years since Grand Theft Auto 3. I mean, in 10 years, someone who was 11 is now 21. And they might not have. I know it's maths, but you know what I mean. Like if you were 11 or like 9, you might not have bothered playing Grand Theft Auto because you weren't interested in it. You'd be interested in Sonic if it was you, or Civilization if it was me. That's as a whole. That's not just the game, Keith.
Yeah.
But you know, now you're 19 or you're 21. There's a high chance you might not have played Grand Theft Auto 3. You might have skipped it. No?
Maybe. I don't know. I have a feeling. I suspect you might. You might get people who've only experienced Gangstar.
Yeah, that's what I. See, that's probably why they're so dedicated to the game. I've seen Gangstar fans. We've had people like rip it out of us for criticizing Gangstar.
Really?
They've obviously never played an actual Grand Theft Auto game. Either that or they've just forgotten.
Yeah. Go on.
It's not the best game I've ever played. I'm saying it's dated in quite a few areas. And it's not obviously it's not going to be as ambitious as the Grand Theft Auto you know nowadays. Because they were just trying to find where the rules were, if you know what I mean.
I think
the boundaries.
I think... 3 is the thing about 3, I bought it and as I said on the, I've probably said before on this podcast, I got certain the way in, and then I always end up just going around mowing people down and just seeing what the engine does when you do certain things. I have to say, of all of them, 3 is probably my favourite, if only because it was the first to really do that. So it was always incredibly fun. Just that is the word I would describe it as being fun. I think the series kind of lost a bit of that, to be honest. I don't think 4 is particularly fun.
Vice City was the best. I got to say, though, it was easily the best. It had the best soundtrack, for one.
3 for me is just like a bit of a theme park, really. It's essentially, it is literally a sandbox you just go and you can do what you like in. So, I mean, the touchscreen is never going to be ideal for those kind of controls and stuff. But if you just want to mess around, I would have thought it would be perfect for it. And I can't imagine any Gangstar ever getting anywhere near. Because essentially, they set out to make Gangstar, and they're looking at, can we make a Grand Theft Auto? And that you know, whereas they made Grand Theft Auto, you know, it's the first. So, yeah, Gangstar is just a kind of a marketing opportunity. It's just a let's tick this box. Whereas Grand Theft Auto was always a
even at the time, I bought the PS2 because of Grand Theft Auto 3. I hadn't played it. I just heard of it and saw the screenshots. I was a big Grand Theft Auto 1 fan, to be fair, when it was overhead. I didn't like Grand Theft Auto 2 very much, but because they had really slow cars in Grand Theft Auto. I don't know why they did that. They went all sci-fi. But no one played those games, apparently. No, you haven't played Grand Theft Auto 2, have you?
No.
See, no one played Grand Theft Auto 2. I'm one of those... One of the rare. Anyway, Grand Theft Auto 3, I heard it was in 3D, and it was Grand Theft Auto 1 in 3D, and I went, whoop, buying a PS2 for that. And it's just that sort of, like, no one could do that. No, you can't make a Grand Theft Auto game in 3D. It wouldn't work. It'd be all crap. But actually, you know, Rockstar, at the time, DMA, was it DMA?
Yeah.
Were they still DMA then?
Yeah. I think, I'm trying to think of the cover. Yeah, I think there might have been.
But they're now called Rockstar North. It was a 3D Grand Theft Auto that went beyond what you would have thought was possible with the system. It doesn't quite do that on mobiles, but of course it does feel old if you played other Grand Theft Auto games because there are just quite a few little areas. But the basic concept remains the same. It's a bit like, I was thinking about it earlier, it's a little bit like playing Mario on the NES and then New Super Mario Bros. On the DS. It's like the basic game is the same, but the NES one looks worse. It doesn't have the same quality of animation or the extra features like being able to grow Mario or bigger and stuff like this. But effectively, it's still the same game, and at its core, it's a good game.
Yeah,
so you can still enjoy it. It's not like it's been dated because it had broken gameplay or whatever.
Because of its sense of scale, I don't think Grand Theft Auto has ever been a looker, really. It's always been... People have kind of let it off in that respect because, you know, if you actually just took a screenshot and were told that was the only bit, you'd think, Christ, that looks awful, because it kind of looks all cartoony, and especially Grand Theft Auto 3. But it was because of the size of the thing, you know, when you just drive...
Yeah, that's why the character models are all pretty pathetic looking.
Yeah, yeah. But even
hilariously, they've got more pedestrians on the street than Gameloft have managed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they always, that was always the thing about Grand Theft Auto, is that you would walk past people and they'd just be saying random things that make you laugh. And that's something that...
Yeah, they do that on Grand Theft Auto 3 as well. It's quite hilarious bumping into people and hearing their one line thing.
And that's something a Gangstar certainly does not have. It's just people...
It's also just the quality of the radio stations and just the atmosphere around the game. Like even the going from day to night, even though it's like... I mean, Gangstar does it as well, but it's... Even the lights flare and everything, it just doesn't have the same atmosphere. It can't quite get it.
You're talking about Marathon and Doom. In my mind, it's the same kind of thing. This is people who knew what they were doing and wanted to do it. And whereas Gangstar is a game that wants to know what it's doing, but doesn't really know other than it wants to be this.
Yeah.
So I'd say buy this.
Yeah, don't buy Gangstar.
I
see Gangstar at number one at Christmas because it's been reduced to 69p. By the way, listeners. I'd be very annoyed.
We'll personally come round and...
Hit you. No, we won't really. We'll probably talk at you at length in a very disapproving tone. Sit you down on the sofa. We'll have a nice cup of tea, though, probably.
But you'll change your mind if they do Gangstar Cambridge, though, won't you? You'll be all over that.
I wouldn't.
Everyone on bikes.
Actually, no, that does sound good.
Yep.
Anyway, GTA 3. I'm not going to say it's the perfect game. Again, I didn't play very much of it, so I don't know about the drive-by shooting. I expect it's horrible. But what I played led me to believe that it's better than Gangster already. And it's available now for £2.99. And it, just purely in historical sense, it's worth, if you haven't played Grand Theft Auto 3 before, but you do know Grand Theft Auto 4 and the other later games, it's worth going back and seeing how...
It's a seminal release.
Yeah, it's worth seeing how...
Changed the industry.
Because you don't need to play Grand Theft Auto 1 or 2. Like, no one's played Grand Theft Auto 1 or 2, it seems. Bastards.
Grand
Theft Auto 3 was the series starter. This was start of the phenomenon. And it's better than Call of Duty in that sense, because if you play Call of Duty today, the original, I mean, you'll sit there thinking, this is so basic, this is not even fun. Which I think is a testament to the original gameplay in Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah. If anything, my criticism of all of the ones that have come since is they haven't moved on far enough, actually, that it's still basically the same game. But this is where it started. So, you know, if you're going to play any of them, actually, you should play this one.
And then play the superior Vice City. I really hope Vice City comes out.
It will do.
Ah, Vice City is so good.
They'll do all of the PS2 ones.
Take these broken wings. I might be just saying Vice City is really good because the 80s soundtrack.
I think so.
Learn to fly again. Learn to live.
Saying you didn't like the hideous music on Gangstar Rio.
What? So I'm all broken. I've got broken wings. What were you saying?
I'm saying you didn't like you're suggesting you didn't like the hideous music all over Gangstar Rio. Then I didn't do it for you.
No.
I turned music on.
You know what's criminally lacking in games nowadays? 80s power ballads.
Yeah.
There's just no games coming out which has an 80s power ballads, and I think that's
apart from Dance Star Central 80s power ballads.
What's that? That's a very English way of saying ballads.
I was trying to think of the title to amalgamate. And,
Jonathan, does one wish to join me on a ballad?
anyone who's been watching X Factor knows they're now called ballads. So yeah,
ballads.
Ballads. That's what Talisa from that shitty what was their band called?
I don't watch X Factor. I watch stuff like Crank and.
What are they called? They're band called.
I don't watch X Factor.
No, you don't need to. What, you know the shitty band she was in with Daffy? What are they called?
Oh, that one. That's N-Dubs.
N-Dubs. That's it. She said ballads. You did a ballad this week. A ballad. Yes.
Oh, she came across as the more intelligent one out of them lot.
Did she?
All things are relative.
Doesn't say much.
Anyway, so there we go. Get Grand Theft Auto 3. It's a good game. Get something good as well with it. It's $2.99, so I mean, like one off Friday Fiverr, I'm sure it's going to feature alongside something else. What else?
I would say get Sonic CD as well, and just so that you can all agree.
Okay.
You.
Yeah, Sonic CD as well. Also, Football Manager Handheld just got a gold, so get that as well. Oh, dear. I'm going to have to get that now. Terrible. It's when you're not reviewing games and you see one of your fellow reviewers give it something a gold medal. It's kind of like it's kind of like someone prodding you in the stomach and going, "I think you should buy that game." So there we go. So I'll buy that. No, not when you review a game. I always ignore that. I have a quick laugh. Anyway, we have really gone overboard with the time this week. Yeah, we have. It's
didn't have anything to talk about.
I know we didn't. I don't know how we managed it. 1 hour 6 minutes.
Who needs John?
Who needs John? John's actually, next ill. Week. Yeah, he is. He's actually ill. I forgot to mention where he was. oh, well, who needs John? So, get well slowly, John.
Huh? No, I want him to get well. I'm meant to be going out for dinner tomorrow. So she's not there. I can't. Not just me and John.
Oh, okay.
Actually, with your friend Dan. But if he's not well.
Yeah, Dan. How long have you two been together?
I only do it for Pocket Gamer, just you know.
All right, okay, fair enough.
Bingo news. No, it won't be happening if he's not well.
But next week we have a new member.
Do we
join? Yeah.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Am I thinking along the right lines?
Yes. I don't know if he's going to join for many episodes, but hopefully he will. If he's good, if not, I'll cut him out. I'll do it politely. Yeah, so that should be fun. And it's also Christmas next week, apparently.
Is it?
Yes. Bollocks. I haven't bought...
No, it's not next week.
It is next week.
It's 10 days away.
Yeah, look at the date. 15th. It's a Thursday, Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 days away. It's... 10 days from Thursday is Sunday.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, it's a week and a bit, isn't
it's
it?
Next week. in practical 7 days, Monday being the first day terms, it's seven. It's a week.
I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Well, anyway, we're going to be back for a special Christmas one. I haven't really planned what we're going to do for this Christmas
sing
one.
Sing carols.
Ding dong, merrily on high. I've got to practice. I'll put sleigh bells. That's a guarantee. But we'll have I don't know. Let's have a competition. We'll do a quiz. I'll set up a quiz and everyone can join in. It'll be fun. It won't be normal. It won't be a normal podcast.
Who's everyone?
Everyone. Literally everyone.
What, they just shout out the answers?
Yeah, shout out the answers. It'd be great. Anyway, we'll join you next week. I've been Will Wilson. He is Keith Andrew.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.